The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but who doesn't need to smile and laugh these days? The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think he is. Life lessons for our faith that we can probably use. If we choose to, if you want to, well, the Lord will be watching. Humor that will force us to think, why? Why are we on the radio? Who knows? I know why. The Lord told us, go on the radio. Also, Bible trivia for fake, and yet somehow, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here's the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. We don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So we're asking that question about living life as a Christian. We went to church yesterday. Pastor Kurt did a great job at our church, Stillwater Community Church. He talked about how we're in church and everybody's in church and you have a really good, it's good because, you know, people love the Lord. Then you go out into the world, you go through a fast food restaurant, and the person that takes your order is like, maybe they shouldn't be in customer service, right? You know what I'm saying? What do you want? Kind of thing. And he was saying, that's the challenge for the Christian. That's what this show is all about. By the way, he did a great job on that. And so the point in understanding that is that we are light in a dark world. And even when people make decisions that are maybe not the nicest in the world, we still have a responsibility to reflect Jesus Christ in all that we say or we do, and that's what the show is about, helping us do that just a little bit more, one step at a time, as we get one step closer in towards the Lord. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, perhaps the Lord is working something in your life. Perhaps you have a prayer request, a praise report, you want to answer trivia. Whatever the case may be, we want you to have that opportunity to share with us. You can do so simply by reaching out to us at 972-445-0770, and that phone number is going to go right to our terrific T, 972-445-0770, and that will be terrific if you are able to do that. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. Did I do those right? 214-210-8483. That's the text number. Now, the reason I bring this up is the last three shows, we've had people calling on the text and trying to apparently text the call. So the reason that I'm restating this is not to make fun of anybody. No, really. It's just to remind you, if you're calling, you got to call the 972-445-0770. If you're texting, you got to text the 214-210-8483. And if you're emailing, you could just email david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, that is access to our website where we have audio clips, video clips, different sayings, different encouragements, different comments on some of the things that are going on in the world. You are welcome to check it out. Plus, it's also a place to have contact with us to give. And we greatly appreciate when people do that as well. Our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, now we got somebody calling in, and we haven't gotten rolling yet, so we'll give him a chance. We got to assume it's not an answer to a trivia question. I haven't asked one yet, so I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that is probably the case there. We are going to be jumping into Matthew. I have some really – I love teaching in the Gospels. The Gospels are so much fun to teach, and it's such great narrative. It's and when we say narrative, that just means the format. That doesn't mean it's not true or that it's a fake story. It just means that's the format that it's written in, whereas the epistles – not the wife of an apostle, but the epistles are really more of a line-by-line sequence that you go through as Paul is, or whoever's writing in is communicating their thoughts. Okay, we have somebody that wants to share. Okay, here we go. We're going to do our best. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Sergio.
Hi, Sergio. How are you today?
Good. How are you, David?
I'm doing pretty well. I got to tell you, I did about 14 and a half hours in the last 48 hours on a marathon paper, and I got it done. I don't know what kind of grade I'm going to get, but I don't care. I got it done. That's all I care about.
I think the most important thing is that it's done.
Yeah, it's done. Exactly. That is a good perception. Your gift of discerning of spirits is working excellent.
So, David, I've been listening to you for about a month now, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 2 months, I don't know. But I look forward to your radio show every day now because I'm in the car a lot. So here's my question.
Okay.
I was raised Catholic.
Okay.
And now I kind of opened up my eyes now, I kind of like read the word now. I'm, I don't consider myself a Catholic anymore. But here's my question. What is the deal, or can you explain the so many virgins of that religion? Like the Virgin of Guadalupe, the Virgin of this, the Virgin of that. I mean, am I making sense?
Yeah, no, you are, and you have to understand it. This is, I'm going to answer that. In fact, I'm not going to actually do my question because this answer will take a little bit longer. And be encouraged. I am not going to be able to give you the best answer in the 3 or 4 minutes, but I can give you kind of a handle on it so you can understand. So first of all, it's really good to know that you are really drawing into the Lord. And in that, I not only encourage you and bless you, but I really pray that as you get closer, you just enjoy him more and more as you draw in. That's like the first thing, because that's the coolest thing. And the second thing is to understand that even though you came out of that, in a sense, you came out of that, you should be aware that God has people everywhere all the time, because God is way bigger than we are in how he's got people placed and what he's doing. The problem with some of the faiths, and it's not just the Catholic faith, the Baptists have problems, the Pentecostals have problems, every group has their own set of issues, there's just no question. But in the mindset for the Catholic, many people believe that if there's a virgin and they've not been touched and nothing has happened, that they are of such purity that more miraculous things can happen through them. Now, that's not biblical, because all you got to do is look at Samson, who was a drunkard and kind of a womanizer, and God still did a lot of miracles through him. And so that's really not an accurate kind of lay down, or it's not an accurate way to say it. But they all try and connect back to Mary as the virgin. Here's something that will really help you understand why it's bad to do that, okay? Mary was a central part of the birth of Jesus Christ. But in the genealogy in Matthew 1, so was Rahab the prostitute. So it just tells you, the Lord's kind of bigger than that, isn't he? He's just a bigger God than we will do. So there's a little bit of an affinity or connection to that. And then they deified Mary, and that's a whole nother problem, because scripture's quite clear that afterwards Jesus had brothers, four of them that we know of, and two of them were very significant in the church, James and Jude, who wrote the books James and Jude in the New Testament, and James was a lead character from Acts chapter 15 on. So it's more of a religious-y kind of attitude more than a definitive for what God is.
Okay. Well, there are just so many, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many, especially in Catholic religion.
Yeah, it's crazy how many different variants and variations. And that's one of the things that I love about the Lord is King David said something in the Psalms. In Psalm 119, he said, I am a companion to all them that fear you. If there's a real sincere pursuit of the Lord will make himself known. But if there's a commitment to a man-made religion, something that's created with rules and actually the word religion in the old dictionary, the American Heritage Dictionary, used to say systems of rules by men. And that's a pretty good that's a pretty good way to say it, because it's like, well, that's fantastic, but Christianity is a living relationship with a living God made possible by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And that's the key, is Jesus made it so you can access in and out. And then as soon as you get touched by the Lord, you know, you want to know how you know? You open up that book, that goofy old book, and all of a sudden it makes sense, it speaks, it's truth, and you know it. And that's how you know stuff's going on with the Lord.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you so much for your work, David. I listen to you every day.
I appreciate that. It's a great blessing to hear. And I just, you know, you'll find I'll say some really dumb things, but whatever I say that can encourage you to draw closer, amen, brother. Seize on that, hold on to that, and keep getting closer and closer.
I will, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was fun. I mean, I'm not, you know, I just like stuff like that. And a lot of people might call, you know, they have may have a disagreement about that. And I understand. I'm just giving the, you know, I'm not going to give you a deep 45-page insert footnote here. That's all I did yesterday, by the way. I did 39 footnotes on this paper. My brain is just like, bleh, bleh. All right, so great call. Really appreciate that. And here's the thing. For Sergio, you guys, that's the guy you got to be praying for. He's making a decision to go forward in the Lord. He's made that call. He's drawing in. That's the person you want to mention before the Lord, saying, Lord, draw him in and fill his heart with joy. What a blessing. What a great call. And we appreciate that. Call any time, okay? All right, we'll take our break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience on God Country Texas, 770 KAAM.
Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever, next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off. Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen, and somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, you know, Beyond Blessed, and I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that, and it was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just so that you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit. You know,
It was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Baptist.
Yeah, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So, anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All righty, let's get our first trivia question. Now, don't forget, all righty is not the theological term that we use around here. Okie dokie artichoke is. Okay, so okie dokie artichoke, that's the theological term. All right, here you go. Here's your first trivia question. What book, now this is telling you where this book is located, what book comes before the book of Isaiah? Now, if you don't know, if you know, you want to reach out to us without, you know, hesitation. You can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. The point in me doing that is so that you can know where things are. It's not to drive you crazy or anything like that. But if you don't know and you go and you look it up in your Bible where the books are listed and you look it up, you will most likely never forget that again. So that's why we ask it. What book comes before the book of Isaiah? Let's see if you know the answer. You can reach out to us, like I said, 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483, or you can also email us, david@hemustincrease.org. What a great opening phone call and question to start the show with. You want to do this little DNA? You good for that? Or you right? Or do you want to put it in? It's up to you. What do you feel like? All right. Well, we're going to go straight forward because I am so far behind in my teaching. It's not funny. So let's at least address some of the issues that I want to talk to in this Matthew chapter 4 portion. So it's Matthew that we're in, and it's chapter 4. And we did verse 1. I got through a whole verse last week, so I want to try and get through a few more verses, or at least two. Anyway, here's what it says. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And then the tempter approached him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. There's so much here to talk about. Let's just do it right off the bat. Jesus goes, led by the Holy Spirit, after he goes through the baptism, before he goes into public ministry, he goes through what we would call a time of testing. So he makes a presentation to the public. Here I am. He tells John, hey, let's get this thing going. He doesn't submit to John. He tells John to get it going, get on the ball. The temptation, so when people say, oh, he submitted to John, it's like, wrong, wrong, wrong. So he does that full presentation to the public. The Holy Spirit falls on him. We see that it's in the shape of like a dove, and then there's a voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We talked about what that meant. Doesn't mean that he was really, really happy that he just got dunked, but he had a long-term relationship with the Father, and that was the key element. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness, which means that sometimes the Holy Spirit leads you into times or trials or different elements. It's important to understand that because not everything that the Lord leads you in is cotton candy and Skittles. You just got to stop thinking that way. It's like, that's not how it goes. Our whole premise here, now that you've become a Christian, is for you to reflect Jesus more and more, and that's the process you go through. It's not all bad. It's just not all, you know, perfectly, you know, Skittles and rainbows. That's just the best thing I can come up with. Then it says he went and for 40 days, he fasted. And then he was hungry. So this is going to be post the 40 days. So the first question is why was it 40 days and 40 nights? There's a couple of different reasons. People will make the connection for Noah, which would be also accurate, 40 days, 40 nights in the rain. It also recalls the experience of Moses, who also fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in Exodus 24:18, and Elijah, who fasted for 40 days, 40 nights in 1 Kings 19:8, as well as the 40 years of temptation or testing in the wilderness for the children of Israel, which is probably the largest connection of that. And yes, Rick Warren did write a great book on the 40 days and making all those connections. Fantastic pick or pull, what we would say, out of scriptures. Understand that. The big thing about this whole 40-day fast is this. After 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, it was a denial of the bodily needs, listen to what I'm going to say, to enhance the spiritual reception. Now, what does that mean? Because that's like a loaded statement. It's like, wow, that's one of those theological things, right, Dave? No. Jesus demonstrates. This is in the scriptures for you and me, okay? For you, for me, for us. Jesus demonstrates by fasting, denying himself bodily needs, his spiritual enhancement or receptor is on high. In other words, we all have an antenna by which we exist in the Lord, where we kind of pick up the transmissions from the Lord. And most of us do this through the Word, and most of us do this through prayer. You certainly do this in church and fellowship and in different elements. Some people might even get some pickups or transmissions here. Listen to the show. That's all great. But one of the greatest ways to increase the clarity of the reception from God's transmission is for you and me to deny all of the worldly slash fleshly slash bodily elements. Does Jesus fast like this every other week? No. And so there's nothing in there that says that he does that. And in fact, when it talks about Paul did it for 14 days. And a lot of people do it for a few days. For 3 days, I think, was the Nineveh call. It's different for everybody. The fast really means to go without. It's really what it means. It means to abstain from it. And so this process that you're seeing by Jesus, he put himself in the receptor position of being just spiritually intuitive. And for you and I, fasting is a lost art. It's much more difficult in a fast food generation, no matter what anybody tells you, that we're not 500 fast foods within 5 miles of where people live back then. But to deny your flesh will have the same result that it has for everybody throughout all of church history and before, from all of the history of Israel and before. It will enhance your ability to hear the Lord or to be sensitive to the Lord. So if it's dangerous for you to fast, then just fast a meal as opposed to fasting a day. If you've never fasted before, fast for 1 day. See what happens. Try it out. It's okay. If you do it under the Lord, it doesn't have to be perfect. Some people I know personally drink a lot of coffee. A couple of pastors that I know drink more coffee. I don't drink that much coffee, actually. I only drink 1 cup a day. They fast coffee, which is funny because they probably have 7 or 8 cups a day. So it's like, that's a fast. And that's you think that's like, nope, that counts. It all counts. But they're only doing it as unto the Lord. And when you feel that stuff going on, you're going, yep, I'm hungry. That's the bell, ding, 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 for you to go and pray or spend time in the Word. In other words, when your body reacts to that, respond to that with spiritual food, spiritual liquid. You think, wow, that's so practical. Yeah, try that. All right, then the other thing, and we're going to have to really follow up on this next week because it's just too much to cover. It says, then the tempter approached him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. We're not going to deal with the if you are the Son of God. I will say this. There's some people that believe that the if part's not really resonating doubt as much as challenging the kind of Messiah he would be. I think that's partly correct, but I think it's also correct to say the devil tries to instill doubt on a regular basis, so if can be used, I think, in both ways. But the other part I want to catch on this is this. The tempter approached him and said, why that's important, although it seems like such a dumb thing to pick out, is that Jesus was aware of the temptations of Satan. He was aware that the trial was taking place. He was in tune, so he knew Satan was trying to take advantage and get him to do something, which we'll talk about next week, which would have been a misuse of his power. But what I want to bring up is that he was aware that it was Satan. And too many of us engage in our Christian walk, and we're not as aware that the enemy is attacking as we need to be. He attacks through really obviously simple things like not forgiving somebody, holding or harboring resentment, having unforgiveness like linger on for years and years. That doesn't do anybody any good. Having us operate in doubt versus faith. Those are all those spiritual ones, but there are other temptations he drops in your lap, which you don't have to respond to, but he's still going to drop towards you. I will give Oral Roberts the credit for saying this because I think he said it best first. He said, temptation is like birds over your head circling above you. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can certainly stop them from building a nest on your head. Get it? They can be up there with influence, but don't let them land and take property in your brain. Get that? That's really a good way to view that. So here's the two things I want you to pull out of it. I do have to answer, by the way, the trivia question. So, see, double check with T. Right there.
So proud of you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking over there. So the trivia answer, before Isaiah is the Song of Solomon. Or the Song of Songs, or Solomon's Song. I don't care what you call it. Here's the bottom line. It's the Song of Solomon before Isaiah. That is the last of the poetry books. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Five poetry books, okay? Now, in closing, keep in mind, after Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, okay? He was hungry. That sounds normal. But he denied his flesh so he could be spiritually sensitive, and we would do well to take heed to his example. And then it says, then the tempter approached him and said, and Jesus knew what was going on, and you and I should be doing a better job knowing when the enemy is coming towards us. That would be a lot of prayer and a lot of Bible that will help you get through that. All right, we'll take our break and come back. Got so much fun coming up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da-da-da, that's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA.